Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So I take it I'll just read the Sanskrit, is it? So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, The Appearance of Lord Varaha, Text 47. Oh, there's the board there. So anyway, okay. No, that's fine. It's all right. Oh, the Bhagavatam. Saitam Bhagavan Urvim Vishviksena Prajapati Rasaya Lilayoni Tam Apsunyasya Yayo Hari. Oh, you did that one already. Sorry? Next one is Ya eva me tam hari me de so hare katam subhadram. Has that one been done also?
No.
Not? Okay. So today then it seems to be verse 48. Ya eva me tam hari me de so hare katam subhadram kataniya maina srinvita bhaktya shravayeta voshatim janardano syashu hridi prasidati. Translation. If one hears and describes in a devotional service attitude this auspicious narration of Lord Bhor, which is worthy of description, the Lord, who is within the heart of everyone, is very pleased. Very nice verse. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In his various incarnations, the Lord appears, acts, and leaves behind him a narrative history which is as transcendental as he himself. Every one of us is fond of hearing some wonderful narration, but most stories are neither auspicious nor worth hearing because they are of the inferior quality of material nature. Every living entity is of superior quality, spirit soul, and nothing material can be auspicious for him. Intelligent persons should therefore hear personally and cause others to hear the descriptive narrations of the Lord's activities, for that will destroy the pangs of material existence. Out of his causeless mercy only, the Lord comes to this earth and leaves behind him his merciful activities so that the devotees may derive transcendental benefit. Translation. If one hears and describes in a devotional service attitude this auspicious narration of Lord Bhor, which is worthy of description, the Lord, who is within the heart of everyone, is very pleased. Om jnana tamrandasya jnanam janashalakaya chakshulamilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chitanya mano vishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakadamayam dadati svapanam tikam Vanchakapatarubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhya Evacha Haritanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it's a very nice verse, very appropriate for the Sankirtan Marathon, and just a very wonderful verse anyway. It's a type of benediction in Srimad Bhagavatam and in our Vedic scriptures generally, and for that matter also in the writings of our previous acharyas. They present different messages in different forms in different verses. In some verses, they're offering obeisances. In some verses, they're making philosophical descriptions, some philosophical analyses. And in other verses, they're offering benedictions. So, of course, these are all very potent indeed. Like, for example, offering obeisances. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the author, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's beginning every chapter, at least in the first few verses, in virtually every chapter. He states, Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda, Jai Advaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So this is offering obeisances. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, all glories to Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and all the devotees. And there are numerous other types of verses in which he's doing the same thing. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the offering of obeisances, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srila Vyasadeva is offering his obeisances to Vasudeva, that form of Lord Krishna, who appeared as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. So these are verses offering obeisances. Then of course there's so many verses which are philosophically describing the absolute truth and our relationship with the absolute truth. Then there's some verses which are offering benedictions, that if you do this, do that, like this, then you'll achieve the goal of life. The Lord will be pleased with you. You'll achieve pure devotional service. Like in Bhagavad Gita, right at the end, Lord Krishna says, Sarva Dhaman Parichaja, Mame Kam Sharanam Braja, Aham Dvam Sarva Papebhyo, Mokshaya Shyami Masuchaha. That we should give up all other dharmas, all other activities, all other types of duties, and just surrender to Him. Then He'll deliver us from all of our sinful reactions, our accumulated karma, and so on. And we don't need to fear. We can have faith and accept that and follow that instruction. And then we'll get this nice result. This is a type of benediction. Then, to make the benediction even stronger, Lord Krishna, just a couple of verses later, he describes how we surrender to Him, and that means we take up devotional service. Instead of serving our senses, serving our countries, family members, and so on, we take up service to Him. So, Krishna then describes that of the many different types of services that one may do, the best is to preach Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that for one who explains this message to the devotees, for him, devotional service is guaranteed. So this is also a benediction, actually a stronger benediction, that for those who are preaching Krishna consciousness, trying to push on the Sankirtan movement, then, for such a devotee, devotional service is guaranteed. First point. Then, Krishna says that, in the end you'll come to me. There's no devotee. There never has been, there never will be, a devotee more dear to me than that devotee. And in the end he'll come to me. So just see, what a benediction. Directly from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. So, certainly we can have faith and accept that benediction. Very, very kind of Him. So this verse also is giving a similar type of benediction, that if we hear about Krishna and then we describe what we've heard, then Krishna, who's within our hearts and within the heart of everyone, Krishna will be very pleased with us. So, just see.
What are we going to do? Stamp books, is it?
Uh-huh. So anyway, this will be very pleasing to Krishna. In other words, we'll be able to advance in Krishna consciousness. And actually we'll be able to achieve the goal of life. The goal of life really is to please Krishna. That is the goal. Not just to become an expert this or that, very accomplished in executing some duty. But the goal is to actually please the Supreme Personality of Godhead through one's activities. And as we know, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, Patram Pushpam Palam Tayam, you should offer me with love and devotion leaf, flower, fruit of water, or water, and I'll accept it. So the ingredient which he's looking for is that love and devotion. Even if one cooks the very best first-class vegetarian food, but does not offer it with love and devotion, one may even offer it, but not with love and devotion, then Krishna won't be as pleased as if he gets some very simple offering, just offered with love and devotion. Very important. So, this then, Krishna is referring to this type of service in Bhagavad Gita. That of all types of service, they're all very nice, but Krishna is most pleased when we try to preach his glories, spread his message for the benefit of the conditioned souls. And if we do it in a mood of Krishna consciousness, in a mood of love and devotion, then he'll be very pleased. So just see how fortunate we are. The Sankirtan Marathon is here. Of course, always that service is there and always that service is stressed, but at this particular time of the year, stressed more and more opportunity is there. I was just thinking during the kirtan that Shishi Gaunataya there, this is Shishi Gaunataya, and if you look at them you'll see they're in a very ecstatic mood. Very ecstatic. Gaunataya deities of course are always very nice, but these particular Gaunataya deities, if you look at them, you'll see they're really in ecstasy. It's described in Mahabharata. There's a description of the different avatars. So there's a description, it's a little indirect, but not too indirect. One can understand it's referring to Lord Chaitanya. So there's a description of the incarnation of the Lord in Kali Yuga. How he is initially a householder, then he takes sannyas, and then he goes to preach Krishna consciousness in the Sankirtan movement. So that verse says that Lord Chaitanya in the Sankirtan movement, he went running after the conditioned souls, running after them. He wasn't waiting for them to come to him saying, come on, surrender to me, then I'll reciprocate, or then I'll help you, I'll make some effort myself. No. Mahabharata is explaining how Lord Chaitanya goes running after the conditioned souls. So if you look at Gaunataya here, you'll see that they're running. They're not just dancing, of course they're dancing, but they're not just dancing in a graceful and gentle way, but they're actually running with both hands up. Actually, I've seen in some temples, I don't think here, but I think in Russia somewhere, where there are many Gaunataya deities, that they have, we have some instruments for Gaunataya, don't we? Kartals? Mridanga? We don't. Oh, I thought I'd seen that. Anyway, in some temples they have mridangas and kartals, so Gaunataya have their kartals in hand, or mridangas, like that. But actually one thing I saw, which really I thought was very nice, is that in some temples, Gaunataya, they have little books
And you can see.
That was Germany I saw.
Germany?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
I haven't done that
sometimes. And in Russia I've seen a number of places. They're running with books in their hands. And you can see, somehow the devotees have, I don't know, perhaps photocopied or somehow or other they've got small versions, at least of the covers of the book, so you can see, oh, Lord Chaitanya has Srimad Bhagavatam in one hand and Bhagavad Gita in the other, or like that. So they're very pleased by this activity of Sankirtan. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said that wherever the Sankirtan party is, Lord Chaitanya is there also. He's also there. Lord Chaitanya is present, of course, in his deity form in the temple, but Lord Chaitanya is particularly present where the Sankirtan party is. This is his business. His business is not simply to passively accept worship, as it is more with Krishna, who's saying, come on, here I am, and you must surrender to me. But Lord Chaitanya, his business is, his whole lila, is to go out. So, of course, it's very nice to worship Gaur-Nitai in the temple, in any way. But they're particularly present, and they're particularly pleased with that worship performed on Sankirtan. So, this is something we can meditate on. And then we'll get some great benediction. Great benediction. The Lord will be pleased with us. And we'll easily be able to make advancement. Such a very fortunate situation. It's quite inconceivable. This, in fact, is what distinguishes ISKCON from other Vaishnava institutions and ISKCON devotees. That Srila Prabhupada, he pushed the Sankirtan movement. As a result, ISKCON spread. As a result, ISKCON devotees are enlivened, not simply wanting to stay somewhere and just perform some bhajan, but they're enlivened to take the mission of Lord Chaitanya and go out, even to remote places, distant places, even to face difficulty sometimes. They're enlivened to do that. So, this is because Srila Prabhupada understood this point, that in the Kali Yuga, devotional service means it's all revolving around the Sankirtan movement. And that always has to be the central activity. Then you get the mercy. And when you get the mercy, it means you become enlivened, you become inspired, you become very blissful, and the material world, you can cross beyond the material world, be unaffected by the difficulties of material life, which otherwise, for other people, even other devotees, they may feel intimidated by. How can we go to this place? How can we go and stand on the streets all day in a foreign place? How can we do this? And so they don't do it. So this is very nice. Srila Prabhupada, his great gift, his great realization is about the Sankirtan movement. The necessity, absolute necessity for the Sankirtan movement. What time do we finish now? At 8, is it, or something like that? I think something like that. Okay. So, if we hear, this verse is saying that if we hear and describe about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord has been so kind, he's come here to this material world. So if we hear about that, then he'll be pleased. And if we also describe about that, then he'll be pleased. Actually, both things really have to be there, hearing and describing. And of course, one cannot really describe if one is not heard. One has not heard about Krishna, what are his qualities, what are his pastimes,
What is his philosophy? Then how is one going to describe those things? So, of course, book distribution is also a form of kirtan, a form of chanting, a form of description. The books, of course, they are giving so many elaborate descriptions, but even we ourselves, when we go out and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, then we are taking part in that activity of describing. So similarly, just as if you are directly describing about Krishna, then you must have heard, you have to have heard, otherwise you won't really be able to describe very much. So similarly, if we are to be successful in describing, in the sense of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, then we have to have heard. Very important. Sometimes it's happened in the past. Sometimes devotees think that now it's the Sankirtan Marathon, we must make an extra special effort, which is true. And if we make that effort, then more mercy will come and everything will be very nice, which is true. So in that mood, then that's a nice mood, but then they sometimes devotees make a little mistake, have done in the past, of thinking that let me then be a little negligent about my practices of hearing about Krishna. Now I'm meant to distribute Krishna consciousness so much, so let me just concentrate on that and other, particularly these activities of hearing about Krishna, perhaps they can slip a little bit so I can have more time like that for distributing Krishna consciousness. But this is a little risky. In order to have the strength to describe, spiritual strength, to describe and to go out and meet the Kamis and have to interact with them and to influence them to take Krishna consciousness and not to be influenced by them to become a little materially influenced. So in order to get and maintain that spiritual strength, it's essential that the devotees prepare themselves every morning by hearing very carefully, particularly chanting our rounds, trying if possible to chant 16 rounds before going out, and good rounds, trying to do like that, hearing some Srimad Bhagavatam, some of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. This is like our food. This is like our food, actually. If you eat sufficient food and you eat food of a good quality, then naturally you'll feel strong. But if you don't eat sufficient food and if you eat food which is not of a proper quality, then you'll feel weak. And then you can't wonder, you shouldn't have to wonder, why am I feeling weak? It's a very simple thing. If you don't eat enough or if you don't eat suitable food, then naturally you'll feel weak. Very simple thing. So hearing about Krishna is like our food. It's like our food. Narottam Das Thakur says, what is Mahamantra Guru? What's the Bengali? That Ahi Gosai Ya Mui Taradas Padarena Mora Panchagras. That the dust, Tasavara Padarena Mora Panchagras, the dust of the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, that is my five types of foodstuff. In other words, that is what is giving me my spiritual strength. I'm sustained by it. So what does that mean, that dust? Of course, he wasn't so much directly associated, at least not with all the six Goswamis, and his association even with those of the Goswamis who he did have personal association with was not so much. But his meaning, they're hearing their instructions, hearing from them, associating with them and getting sustenance, spiritual sustenance from them in this way, that this is my foodstuff. This is sustaining me, sustaining my life, my spiritual life. So first thing, as aspiring Sankirtan devotees, first thing is we should be clear in our minds that I need to hear about Krishna very nicely to start my day in that way. Then the rest of the day I'll be sustained strongly. So then I can chant, describe, spread Krishna consciousness, distribute Krishna consciousness very vigorously without feeling, without becoming weak and becoming disheartened if there's some difficulty, some obstacle like that. So this is very important, very vital actually, and very nice. Another thing is that during the time, particularly during the time of the Sankirtan Marathon, there's a little bit mood of transcendental competition. Is there a little bit of a mood of that? Or is it not so much that? What would you say? It's there. It's there. That's good. That's also enlivening. A little mood of transcendental competition. But, of course, that mood of transcendental competition, it has to be a mood of transcendental competition, not just a mood of competition. I remember going back quite some years, actually it was in the 70s, during one marathon, one devotee, big Sankirtan devotee, but he was feeling he wanted to win at any cost, practically. And the devotees with him on the same team, they were traveling in Ireland. They were also very big Sankirtan devotees, and they were like his competition. So he was thinking, how can I beat them? What can I do? So one day he got their shoes somehow and tied them together in such a way you just couldn't undo them. And then he went running out. So it took them some time to cut their laces, and then the laces were finished, so they had to go and get some other laces, and so there was some delay. Another day, he jumped out of the van. They were also outside the van, but they weren't quite ready to go out. He jumped out, locked the door, took the keys and disappeared. So not like that. Not like that. That's not exactly transcendental competition. Actually, Srila Prabhupada spoke about this mood of competition. Generally, he was encouraging transcendental competition, but he also once made the point that devotee doesn't necessarily have to be dependent on this idea of competing and winning like this, doing better than some certain other devotee. Devotee shouldn't become dependent on this. Actually, a higher stage of consciousness is to simply be absorbed in the mood of distributing books for the pleasure of the spiritual master as a service, for the benefit of the conditioned souls, for one's own purification. Actually, this is really a higher level of consciousness than, am I going to beat such and such? And what about the other one? I wonder how they're doing. And because if one is in that mood of competition too much, then one can actually become contaminated. If one doesn't do nicely, one may become too disturbed. In most extraordinary ways. So they look very, very beautiful, quite inconceivable by our standards here in this material world. So they decorate themselves very beautifully, but the only motivation is to please Krishna, because they know that Krishna likes to see them dressed and decorated very beautifully. So, looking so nice, they then go and meet Krishna, and sure enough, Krishna sees them. And Krishna feels so pleased that how my dear devotees have gone to such lengths to decorate themselves like this for my pleasure. So appreciating that transcendental affection of the gopis, Krishna becomes extremely pleased. And that can be seen. The gopis are watching Krishna and they can see, oh, just see how pleased he's become. So when they see how pleased Krishna has become, then they become pleased. They become happy. Very, very happy. And in that mood of great transcendental joy, then their beauty, their effulgence, everything increases. They become even more beautiful. And when Krishna sees that actually they've become even more beautiful, he becomes even more pleased. And they see that he is now even more pleased, they become more pleased. And their beauty increases, and he becomes more pleased. And so, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that there is a never-ending competition between Krishna and the gopis. The gopis are pleasing him, he's becoming pleased, and they become more inspired, he sees that, he becomes more pleased. It just goes on and on and on. So this type of mood should be there. This is really the essence of transcendental competition. Pleasing Krishna, then trying to please him more, then he reciprocates, the devotees become even more inspired, and then they feel, oh, let me try to please him more. So in this way the devotees can go on to higher and higher levels of devotional service, and actually higher and higher levels of achievement in devotional service, being more and more inspired progressively, step by step. So this is really what is there in these transcendental marathons. The opportunity, facility is there. Everything is there. Special arrangement. So we can please Krishna more, become more inspired, please him even more, get even more inspired, on and on and on. We noticed a couple of years ago, when we were down here, It happened like that. The devotees were doing very nicely, but then they got more inspired, and then more inspired, and Krishna reciprocated more, and they got even more inspired, and it was just going on. It was quite astonishing, actually. Even more than astonishing, it was inconceivable. Because it was transcendental. It wasn't just a matter of some material expertise, just making some bigger physical effort to push people more, or push yourself more. Of course, pushing oneself and making special efforts, that's part of it. But actually, the fact that Krishna's reciprocating spiritually, and the devotee is realizing that, and therefore becoming more inspired spiritually, this is really like the heart of the matter in Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Marathon. So therefore, the devotees make extra efforts. Like, I remember in London, I think it was 1975, Christmas Marathon, the devotees were doing Back to Godheads, and a good day was 200 Back to Godheads on the street. Very good day. Then one devotee was down. Well, the devotees heard about how in New York, the devotees would go on the subways, the underground railways, and make announcements and collect donations and give out magazines. So one devotee went down and tried it, and he found, oh, it works very well. You get so many people together at one time. If one person or two people give, then the others, it's like flock mentality. The others feel, oh, well, yes, it's the thing to do. So they give. And so then so many magazines go out. So the devotees, they got so much into it. Of course, Christmas in London means winter. A little different from this. So the devotees were going down, in London they call them the tubes. Going down the tubes about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. Coming back out of the tubes, staying down the whole day.
We had a team of devotees going down, carrying more magazines, and picking up the Lakshmi and carrying it back. That was their only service. So the devotees would then come back up about 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night. So when they went down, this they did for about 3 weeks every day, 7 days a week. When they went down, it was still dark, 6:30 in the morning in England, pitch dark. And when they came up, it was dark again. So for 3 weeks, they didn't see the sun. You get into this, like this world of darkness, material darkness. But because the devotees were so inspired, they first of all, they were doing 1,000 magazines a day, then 1,500, then 2,000, 2,500. Really, quite amazing. And in very uncomfortable conditions, underground and very dirty and very congested, on those trains which are shaking back and forward all the time, not able to hold on to anything. So through that special, making a special effort to please Krishna, and Krishna reciprocating, and the devotees becoming more inspired, like this whole process of relating with Krishna and him relating with his devotees back and forward, the devotees got so inspired they could do like that. So of course, this is the type of thing which happens in Sankirtan marathons. I remember another time, one other devotee, Govinda Basya, some of you may know him. He disappeared for about 4 days. We didn't know what happened. We found that he had gone to one big petrol station on one of the big highways in England. And he had been distributing, not exactly 24 hours a day, but he hadn't really slept for 3 or 4 days. If he ever felt like taking a rest, he would lean against a lamppost and sort of doze a little till he slipped. And then he'd chant his rounds and making special effort like this. So we do like this, then we can exceed all types of mundane limitations and the types of limitations that we impose on ourselves. Normally, by thinking that I normally do like this, I normally do like that, so therefore I'll do like that. Or maybe a little more because it's a marathon. But actually we can transcend. Krishna consciousness is transcendental. And the more we become Krishna conscious, then the more we transcend. And the more blissful it is, the more wonderful it is, and the more comes. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada did this. Just one elderly man spread Krishna consciousness all over the world with nothing. It can only happen through transcendental potency. Others tried, young men, groups of young men, receiving so much support. Someone was telling me the other day that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati spent, in order to maintain his team of preachers in London in the 30s in Europe, spent, I think it was 3 lakhs, or maybe 7 lakhs, he sent to England. So that was the 30s. If we convert that to now, 3 lakhs means $10,000. In the 30s. If we convert that to now, that means hundreds of thousands of dollars, actually. Very large amount of money by normal standards. But still they could practically do nothing. Very, very little. And particularly when we compare it to what Srila Prabhupada did with no backing of any sort. So it's very dear activity to Srila Prabhupada, very, very dear activity to Shishi Gornatai. And if we can absorb ourselves in it, then we'll make great advancement. We'll be very blissful, extremely blissful. And so much success will come, we'll be astonished. We'll wonder what happened. How is this happening? So it's actually happening because of Krishna, not just some sort of normal function of ourselves, but some transcendental potency is there. Anyway, I'm going to come out and visit you all today and try and get some of that transcendental mercy. So to compete is nice, but try and keep the mood transcendental and try and meditate about how fortunate we are, what a suitable time it is, and how we should really make some special effort to give more mercy and in this way get more mercy. And then, I'm sure, things will develop very, very nicely. Any comments or questions? I haven't seen anything actually. This is it. No, I haven't seen anything. Did you see anything?
No.
I haven't seen anything. They always send it, if there is.
What kind? One of Srimati Radharani's transcendental qualities is gratefulness. Anybody who renders any service at all, she's very pleased and very grateful for that. And all of her associates, although she is the primary Padini Shakti preserved potency of Krishna, which attracts Krishna so much, but out of her causeless mercy, she always pushes other devotees to Krishna, all of her other associates. That is the idea of spreading and increasing the mercy. In the sense that, although competition means also to always do the best to serve Krishna, to satisfy Krishna, or seeing the humility, that seeing that this devotee has served Krishna, they become so happy that, oh, this person is such a nice devotee, that he is pleasing Krishna so nice. But sometimes they feel that, let me serve that devotee who is serving so nice, so maybe I will get mercy to be able to serve Krishna in such a nice way also.
Right.
There's no envy, there's no dvesha. The spiritual world is characterized by a lack of envy like that. But they're always very pleased to see how someone to serve Krishna more.
Right.
And they're pushing other devotees and always desiring to serve the other devotee. That because of Radharani's transcendental quality of that way, therefore the devotees in Vrindavan are always chanting Radharani's name more.
Mm.
And because of Radharani will take notice of them, and she would, by her ocean of humility, she thinks that, oh, this person is a nice person. He is very nice for Krishna, better than me. And so she will push him forward, push that devotee forward. And if she will offer that devotee, then Krishna will be very pleased because of Srimati Radharani's transcendental qualities. Krishna will agree to accept all that.
Mm. Yes. Prabhupada says, you may be fool and rascal, but if Srimati Radharani tells Krishna, here, I want you to accept this person, Krishna feels, oh, I must accept. Any comments or questions? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.